Okay, welcome everyone to Mr. Talks show. This is Ebony Empress, and I don't know why, but Mr. Talk has asked me if I will sit in the hot seat tonight and have a conversation with you guys. And you know, I got to be well excited. It's like Friday night, and it's for me, it's Friday night because I'm in the UK. For those of you who are other places in the world, maybe it's not quite as late as it is here, but it's about 8 o'clock in the UK right now. So welcome to the show. And what are you guys talking about? Well, Mr. Talk told me it was get it off your chest. It is Friday, which means another week has passed. Now, on the show today, we're going to try and settle some of the misunderstandings, the beast that individuals on BTR are having. Come and join us for what will be a very explosive and insightful show. Wow. So I'm kind of excited to hear what you guys are going to talk about. You know, come on, let it out, let it go. I'm fine with people letting go of their issues, whatever they may be, or tissues or whatever it is you've got going on for you right now. But yeah, that's what the show is about tonight. So Lethal Migraine's already in. He's saying, why does the US population as a whole fear reality? It seems to me more and more live in fantasy land, scared to live their own life. If one thing goes wrong, people just give up. All right. Interesting point of view. So how was your week, guys? I mean, this is Friday. I mean, in the UK, let me tell you, we've been having a heat wave. It was 31 to 32 Celsius today. And the weekend weather is planned. What we're going to finish on is about 29. So we've had some of the hottest days of our year so far right now. So we are sweltering. So this is a time when people kind of will say what they think. You know, they get really rowdy out there. You know, everybody shows their mad side. I think the heat brings it out. But maybe that's because we live most of the time in a very cold climate. No, it's not freezing, but it's pretty cold in the UK most of the time. So we appreciate hot weather. And I think as well, you know, the mad side comes out because everybody appreciates the opportunity to have some really great energy that comes from heat, you know, having a nice warm temperature around you. It's a bit like when you go on holiday. I remember going to Florida last year and just, you know, sort of bathing in the heat and being able to do things like go to the beach and wear a nice bikini and all that stuff just makes it so much easier to have a great positive energy about you. So I am kind of surprised to hear that people are having issues. No, I'm not. Of course, people do fall out. And I think it's great, you know, for Mr. Talk to give you guys an opportunity to have a conversation and get it all off your chest. Get it out there. Get it out there. You know what they say is when you keep things inside, it creates illnesses. It's the greatest reason for depression and all sorts. So, you know, get it off. Get it off your chest. That's what he's saying. And I'm happy to facilitate that. Just going to say hi to Mr. Talk. I know tonight he's going to a basketball game with his son. So very good luck with that. I hope he wins. Yeah. So that's me. And I hope you're going to enjoy the conversation with me. Yeah, lethal migraine. You may want to call in. It's 31C here right now. And where is he? Oh, let me check it out. I'm just 5 hours south of the Canadian border. Oh, you're in a lovely place. I need to come to Canada. I love Canada. It just sounds like such a brilliant place. I haven't been there yet. But if you're getting great temperatures, you know how I'm feeling right now. Now, if anyone wants to join the conversation tonight, let me tell you what the call-in number is. It's 347-838-8622. So you guys, come on. If you want to call in, it is Let's Talk. You can call in and let's have a conversation. And maybe just share with me what was going on for you this week. You know, anything in the news that is concerning you, anything in your life that you want to share. You know, have you met anybody that you really like right now? You know, are you having a good time? You know, whatever's going on, it's Friday. Feel free to get it out and let's share it and have a great conversation. So that's the opportunity, 347-838-8622. Now, Mr. Talk has left me a song to play for Friday. And he did say to me, it's all set. Friday's song is on the switchboard, and I do see it. So I'm going to play this song while you guys get a chance to think about what it is you want to share with me tonight. Friday's song, don't know what it is. Enjoy. It just says Friday's song. So enjoy that, and we'll come straight back and continue our conversation. Yeah, let's talk. I'm enjoying being here. Great to have you guys online with me too. Enjoy.
Let's begin now. 360. I woke up this morning and I said, you know, instead of waiting for a good day to happen, you know, waiting around through ups and downs, you know, I just said, look.
probably won't leave until something ends. But in the meantime, the in-between time, if you work your thing, then I'll work mine. We came.
Hey. Okay. So I think that's the end of the music. Oh, I'm so busy talking in the chat room. NT knowledge. Mr. Talk's not here tonight, but he's asked me to sit in. You can call me Mr. Talk if you like, but, you know, feel free. It's up to you what you want to call me. But really, I'm just covering for him. And, of course, you know it's Friday. And he's put out this show, which is Get It Off Your Chest. So I hear that you have a lot to get off your chest. So you need to call in. The number is 347-838-8622. What can I get off my chest today? I don't know. I've had such a really great week. There isn't much to really complain about. So many surprises this week for me. I had my son got an internship. He's almost finished university, one more year to go. And he managed to secure an internship, which means, you know, he gets about 6 months of training. 6 months of training paid for, by his employer. And, you know, that's a really great opportunity for him. What else happened to me this week? Now, this week, the other thing that happened, which was really good, is that the guy I'm dating came back from Barbados as a surprise, and he's here until the end of the month, so that's really cheered me up. I'm thinking, what else? What else is going on? Had some really good news at work, started my new job, really love my new job, love the people I'm working with, realised that I made a really great decision to move to the place where I've moved to, so happy about that. Went with my ex-employer to... to an award show where they're recognizing people from the community for the work they've done in the community. And one of my residents, she gets the top award for, like, Resident of the Year. And this is the second award she's won since I've worked for that organization. So that just was so brilliant. So, so, so brilliant. And we went to the Concord Center in Manchester to actually receive the award with her and celebrate it. And it was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So that's been my week so far. I don't know you guys what it's been like for you this week and what you might want to share this week, but here's your opportunity. And I think I've already got somebody on the line. Let's see, should we bring them in? So 2446. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you doing today, Ebony?
Yeah, this is Ebony Empress. So those people who thought Mr. Talk would be in today, he's actually asked me to cover. So, yeah, you've got to share your talk with me tonight. I hope that's not too much for you.
Oh, it's never bad with you. Matter of fact, I'm switching it up now because you've had such a wonderful week. And congratulations to you on your new job. Congratulations to your son on his internship.
Thank you.
I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's been a good week. Amazing.
And I had some stuff I wanted to get off my chest. However, because you came with so much positivity, I can't do it.
Listen, you can do it. You can do it.
No, I can't do it.
You can do it.
I'm one of those people, when it's a positive situation, I want to bring positivity, not negativity. Now, this has been an awfully interesting week for me.
Okay.
To say the least. Some strange things have happened with my short stint on BTR.
Okay.
It's been quite a roller coaster this week for me. But, you know, I'm still on the ride. So
right.
It's not an issue.
So
you know,
tell me about
right?
the experience. Tell me what's happened on BTR because
you know
things happen.
I'm never
aware. Yeah.
Okay. you know, if I befriended someone and then all of a sudden people started coming out the woodworks and I really didn't understand it, I really didn't understand where it was coming from or how it even came to fruition. However, I have embraced it now, and I don't know. Maybe I'm just one of those kind of people where you get fooled by the fact that, you know, I can be very mild-mannered and I can be a nice guy. However, if those buttons get pushed, I can go the other way. And that's what I've been doing the last couple of days, going the other way.
Oh.
So now I've realized I got to fall back and just kind of, you know, be cool and survey the territory, so to speak. So I'm taking this opportunity now. I had a good sleep, woke up. It's a beautiful Friday, and
yeah.
I'm gonna lay like a snake in the grass and just kind of observe things for a minute instead of running my mouth all the time.
Well, you know, there's a book that I've been reading today on the train going to my new job. I've read the book before, but if people have listened to my shows, maybe you've heard me mention it. It's a book called Loving What Is, and it's by Byron Katie, and I really love that book. I love that book because it asks you to kind of, you know, question your thinking, all right? So you know where we like to always assume that we're right about stuff, okay? The other person's wrong, I'm right. And, you know, we never question how we got to the point where we did in our thinking. And what I like this book does, it makes you really explore your thoughts, right? So when you say someone has done you wrong or you've had a bad week, is that about, you know, that person, whoever it is, what they've done, or is it about you fighting with the reality of something that you didn't want to accept? Okay, so very often we're like, you know, we have a real situation in front of us. But, you know, we get locked in our own thinking about what we're seeing because really we don't want to accept what's real. And sometimes it's hard to see what is real because our thoughts get in the way, okay? So she, you know, and I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong in whatever has happened because I don't really know anything about it. But, you know, this is something to consider. You might want to consider it. But she asked you to kind of ask yourself a series of questions. And one is the thing that you think, you know, or the situation or the person, is that true? You know, is there real truth in whatever it is you're perceiving to be true? Is it true?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because situations come up, right? People, behaviors come up. And very often we don't really, really know where that's coming from. You know, but, you know, we often make decisions about what we think people are about or their behaviors are about, and we don't really, really know because we can't really, really know often, and people don't always tell us the truth about what it is. They just act up, right? Yeah? So what I like about the book, and it might be something, have a look at the book if you ever get, you know, if you're a reader, go check it out. It's called Loving What Is. But she asks you to turn around some of your thinking and to question that and to see where it takes you. So it's just interesting ways to view the world and maybe something that may make some people who feel they have something to get off their chest maybe realize that there may be nothing to get off your chest after all. You know, you may already have the answer, but, you know, it's whether you want to see the answer for yourself. Yeah, do you get that?
Yes, I did. And I'm a firm believer in self-examination. I think that is something that we all need to do. I don't think we do it enough because all too often things will happen and we'll look at it externally instead of trying to understand it internally, like you were saying in regards to the book. Okay, is it just me? Is it my perception? Or is it something that I did? And I'm a proponent of that. I've been that way since I was in my 20s. When I see how people react, I'm not necessarily the type of individual where I'm thinking, okay, what is up with them? My first train of thought is, okay, was there something that I did that precipitated this event, whatever it might be?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it first. That's always my first take. When someone comes at me in a way that I don't understand, my first line of thought is, okay, what did you do, Patrick? What did you do? What did you say? And then I take it from there.
Yeah.
Because as human beings, we're always looking for absolution. We want to know the answer. And if you don't look at yourself first, you can't. You might not always get the answer. Now you can get a reaction. You know, somebody does something, somebody says something, you react to it, boom, and then there it goes. It takes on a whole life of its own. And I kind of got caught up in that this week, and then I had to fall back and was like, all right, what is it that you're doing that are causing people to react this way?
Yeah.
Self-examination.
Mm-hmm. It's a good place to start, and it's a good thing to do. And I think we normally try and look outward, but you know. it's confusing to throw kisses.
Yeah, and that's a natural inclination, is to always look out and see, okay, what's going on with that person?
Yeah.
Not realizing that there could be something that you did or said that caused that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the things that I wanted to get off my chest, man, it's, at the end of the day, it's not even that important. And I know it's not. Because it's what I call fool fighting. When you're on a computer or such as this format, you're on a radio talk show, and all of a sudden you don't agree with someone or someone doesn't agree with you, and then it gets personal, when it really isn't. It's not personal.
Right.
The only thing that changes is you let your feelings get involved.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Because
I know how I am.
I think it's so easy to attach feelings to behaviors and the way that people express themselves. But I think the trick is to keep the feelings out of it, keep the emotions out of it, and just hear what you hear for what it is, you know. And then, you know, if it really is something that is going to change your life, then maybe you want to hold on to it. If it really isn't that important and it's just emotional response, then let it go. Let it go, because you can.
Right.
You have the power to let things go.
And I'll admit something to you. I'm one of those type of people where if I know, and this is just me, if I know that I can get you in an emotional state of mind, I'll feed off of it.
Mm.
I'm just that type of person. I'm not a bad person. I don't look for trouble. I don't do anything like that. However, when I know that you're getting emotional and I'm not, then I'm going to fuel your emotion.
Okay.
I just do stuff like that. And maybe that's a fault of mine. Maybe I should be bigger than that.
Well, you know, if you choose to be bigger than that, that's a choice only you can make. But I always say to people, you know, look at how it's working for you. You know, if it works for you and it means that you're building positive relationships and, you know, you're getting great responses and feedback from people in your life or people that are around you or people you come into contact with, then I'd hold on to the behavior. But if it's not working for you and people are coming back to you and the feedback is that, you know, they get upset, they get annoyed, you know, they get territorial, whatever the behaviors may be, you need to take that into consideration and then look at whether you decide that that behavior is worth dropping or not. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Just, you know, I'm just not very good at that. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes from, and I don't mean this disparagingly, I do a lot of work with kids, and I have my ex-girlfriend's son. He's like a son to me, and we're very close. And he's going to one of the best liberal arts schools in the country, and he plays football. And I keep discouraging him in regards to seeking a career in professional football because that's what he wants to do.
Right.
And the only reason why I do that is because I play professional sports, so I know what it's like. And what it does is it fosters a very aggressive behavior because you have to have it in order to survive. And when people start paying you money and start giving you things, it drives that hunger. And I see how it spills over. I've seen how it spills over into my everyday life. So whenever I'm around kids involved in sports, I'm not trying to squash their dreams because every kid's ultimate dream, if they're involved in a sport, is to be a pro at it, whatever sport they're in. That's what they want to do. They want to be in front of an audience. They want to get money. They see all the glitter and glamour of being an athlete, and it's not what people think. It's not what people think. I can remember back to when I would be hurt, and the people who were paying me would be like, "Do you feel okay?" And I was like, "No, I really don't." And here's what they would say to me. I completely understand how you feel.
Yeah.
However, we need you out there. Now, they're not telling you to get back out there, but they're letting you know, we, Patrick, need you to get back out there. And we got whatever it is that you need. You need a shot. You need a shot of cortisone. You need a pill. You need surgery, it's not a problem. We got you. And what people don't understand is that when you come from that particular ilk, it fosters a very aggressive type of personality and behavior.
So you think because you're – sorry to cut you, but just to say, do you think because you're so passionate about winning, right – the, you know, that win attitude, that, you know, never die kind of attitude affects other things in life, your ability to kind of maybe, you know, be empathetic maybe with some things that, or ways that people may be, which may appear to be weak. And I'm asking you that question, but hold on to the question because I'm just looking at what some people are saying in the chat room, okay? I don't know if you're reading the chat room as well. emotions are for the weak. That's lethal migraine. LM, you think that you have no feelings, right? That was from Bible Truth by Benny. Bible Truth by Benny, no, I haven't read the Bible back to back. Just a question answered for you. Michael Hood's in. Hi, guys. Michael Hood, guest 1430, lethal migraine. Redefine Refined and Design. So, the Bible Truth. Hi, guys. Someone saying, don't discourage kids from anything. Let them live their dreams. Let them figure it out for themselves. If you're doing anything but being supportive, you're absolutely trying to kill his dream.
See, he's misunderstanding. He's misunderstanding what I'm saying. I don't discourage kids from fulfilling their dreams. Based on my experiences, everyone is not equipped for what they think they want. That's all. That is, I don't discourage them. I want them to be everything that they can be. Everything. All the time. I would never discourage a child. I will discourage an adult before I discourage a child. I would never do that. However, what I do with children is try to get them to understand that it's not what you think it is. It's really not. Because once you get to that level, man, it's dog eat dog. It is nothing nice. And all people see is the actual game and the accolades and the dancing and the awards. That's what they see. They don't see what goes on behind that. There's always someone trying to tear you down. There's always someone after what you got. Always. And a lot of people are not equipped to deal with that. I dealt with it because I loved what I was doing. I had a passion for it. So I didn't care. I didn't care. And one of the things that I learned was that the people who were my friends before I got to that point turned on me. And it messed my mind up because it was like I was a different person because now I was making money at it. But before I was making money at it, everything was fun and games. But see, when people start paying you for doing something, it's not fun and games anymore. It becomes very real. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be sports.
So are we,
it can be music.
So the question
it can
is,
be anything.
With young people, I want to ask a question. The question with young people, are you helping them to understand the importance or the seriousness of the game, or are you teaching them how to play their own game so that, you know, whatever they...
Both.
Do you get what I'm saying? Are you playing the role of the coach, okay, in the game, or what is your role? Because I recognize the role of the coach, but if it's a different role that you're talking about, you need to tell me, you know.
Okay.
What is the role?
I do both. My son, I got my I used to swim masters, okay? I got my son involved in swimming when he was 3 years old. By the time my son was 6 years old, he was on a swim team. By the time my son was 11, he was being recruited for the Junior Olympics to where they were going to take him to Europe. He had his choice to go to, I think it was, they offered him to go to Germany and two other spots over in Europe.
Right.
Unfortunately, we couldn't afford it at the time. Now, here's what my son told me when he became 14. When my son got into high school at 14 years old, he quit swimming altogether. Now, my son is 24 years old. You know what he told me? I hated swimming. I never liked it. As good as he was, he never liked it. Now, I never pressured him to do it. I never asked him to do it. All I did was made sure he had swimming lessons and knew how to swim. It was his decision to get on the swim team. It was his decision to stay on the swim team. When he was 14 years old, he was on varsity. That's how good he was at 14. He was swimming varsity. And he gave it all up because he was like, I don't like it. This is not what I want to do. And I was like, okay, fine. It's your decision. And then he started playing football. Just like that. And by the time he was a junior, he was a starter. And then his senior year, he was student athlete of the year. Guess what he's doing today?
What's he doing today?
Not a damn thing.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's not
surprising. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is that when he got into college and he saw how it really works,
yeah,
he started seeing the political aspects of it. He started seeing people who had an agenda. He couldn't handle it. Even with me there, he couldn't deal with it, and he got completely discouraged. He felt that the coaches were showing favoritism. He felt that he was better than the guys that were playing in front of him. He felt he was just as good or better than them, but for whatever reason, he went over to the coach's house, and the coach said something to him, and he didn't like what the coach said, and then that was the end of that.
Wow. I wanted to bring someone else in because I've got 6271 on. Hi,
sure.
Welcome to the show. Okay, gotten lots of noise, but I'm not hearing anybody. Welcome to the show. 6271? All right, 6271, that's your last chance. I'm going to put you on hold. Okay, if you want to come in and you're on the switchboard, you need to put your hand up, okay, and let me know when you're ready to speak and we can bring you in. I just wanted to say about, you know, what you were saying about your son and having, you know, kids who are growing and quite grown in their thinking. I kind of understand what you're saying. But I think the interesting thing is that, you know, with any children as they're growing, we sometimes assume that they're more mature than they are. And
exactly.
Really, it takes a lot to understand in the game of life. You know,
exactly.
you can understand the game, i.e. get on a team, play, you know, swim, you know, play football, play all kinds of, and you can be naturally gifted, or you can just be someone who's very tenacious, right? And
right.
Work extremely hard to get wherever you've got to get to, and you achieve
right.
Whatever that is. But do you understand the game of life? That's a bigger game to understand. And I think if you understand the game of life, which is why I was talking about the book I was talking about at the beginning of the show, is that you kind of understand, you know, how to manage self. You understand that self is the most important thing at the end of the day that you need to manage and understand. Not anybody else, yourself. What is it that I'm about? What is it that I'm trying to achieve? What am I in this world for? What is it that I really want to, you know, put out there? What is my purpose? It's quite a hard thing to grasp. And sometimes that can take a whole lifetime. And yes, you will be floating around doing different things, sometimes doing nothing, because you haven't yet worked out why you're here and what it is that you want to, you know, give to this world. And I think that's why he would be at a situation now where he's going to say, I'm doing nothing. Because before he was doing stuff but never really understanding the purpose of any of that and how it fitted into his life and what he would do with it, you know, for the future and where it might take him, or, you know, and that's what happens when, you know, you lack purpose and you don't have someone who, and it's not that you're not there supporting him, but it's for him to almost be coached to understand himself, not the game, himself. Because the game is the game, right? But you in the game, what are you in the game? You know, are you just a player on that team trying to be the best? But who are you in the game is a bigger question. And some of the work I've done with young people is around finding out who they are in that game.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Totally.
And then they find that purpose and they become less angry about life, because the anger, the confusion is about not knowing who I am in this life. And sometimes we think you've arrived in this life. I've brought you here. I've shown you how to do things. I've made you comfortable. You know, you're not starving. Why could you be unhappy about what it is? You know, you're naturally gifted to do stuff. Why don't you just do it? Well, because I don't know how that fits in with who I am.
Right.
And so I think if we did more work with our young people to work on understanding purpose, then they would be less unhappy, they'd be less angry, they would, you know, they would find themselves far quicker in this world, and they would achieve their greatness, they would get it quicker. You know, they wouldn't spend, there are a lot of people who wait until they're 30 or 40 to get it. They would get it much sooner if they understood that and they had the right coaching earlier in life.
Right.
So that's my experience of young people. And what I do with kids is I
try to get them to pursue academics. Because even though I played sports, I pursued academics much more passionately than I did sports. Because I understood the difference between the two. See, because anybody that gets involved in sports, you're looking at it at best, you're looking at maybe a 5 or 6 year career, unless you're really, really good. And then you can go past 5 or 6 years. Most people, you're not even going to last 4, 5, 6 years. You're not.
Yeah.
That's just the way it's designed. And it's a revolving door. So as soon as you get in, there's somebody right behind you. There's somebody behind them. There's somebody behind them ready to take your place.
Ooh,
and all you
got to
do is get hurt.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my brother-in-law, he was on a Super Bowl team. Now, my brother-in-law died prematurely of he had a massive heart attack. He was only 65 years old.
Wow.
But when he was playing professional football, his dossier was 5 inches thick of all the injuries he had, shoulder surgeries, knee surgeries. And the sad part about his career is that he became famous because he unintentionally paralyzed another player. He didn't do it on purpose.
Wow.
It was just part of the game.
Yeah.
And it happened actually in a preseason game. It wasn't even during regular season. It happened in a preseason game. The guy runs for a pass, and this was Daryl Stingley, the New England Patriots. He lunged for a pass, and my brother-in-law came up. He was right there because he does what he does, and he knocked him in the next week. Now, what happened, the repercussions because of that, it ruined his career. It ruined it. And he was one of the most intelligent. And like Letha was saying earlier, he was intelligent, soft-spoken. If you met him on the street, you would never think he played professional football. You would never think he was the aggressive individual that he was on the field. And one of the things that me and him used to sit and talk about, because I played the same position that he played, I never made it to the NFL, though, but He looked at me and he was like, you know what? He was like, check this out. You got to be a little crazy to play this game. And all I did was laugh. Because I was like, yeah, you do. You got to be crazy. Because in football, it's like car crashes. They happen every time the ball gets snapped. It's like a car crash.
Yeah.
You're just... And it's not, and what people don't understand, basketball is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. You're colliding. You're going to get hurt. You're going to have debilitating injuries. I've had 2 knee surgeries, torn Achilles, and I got a bad back.
Wow.
However, I can still dance.
I was going to ask you if you could still do other things, but let's not go there.
Yes, I can. I'm still there.
Yeah, okay. Chef Rob is asking, so Jack Tatum was your brother-in-law? Was it Jack Tatum you're talking about?
And why did Chef put that out there? Chef, call in. Man. He knew exactly who I was talking about. And just so you know, Chef, above my computer is a picture of Jack knocking Sammy White the hell out in the 1977 Super Bowl in Pasadena, right above my computer.
Chef's saying, nah, he saw videos. Jack was a hitter.
Yep.
Right. So I'm going to put out the guys in the chat room, okay? Yeah, I know there's Mike in there. I know Chef Rob's in there and a few of you guys. Come on, call in. I want
to
know what you want to get off your chest. I want
to
know what you got to get off your chest this Friday night, okay? Come and share the time with me. Mr. Talk assured me you guys had stuff to talk about. I don't believe you have nothing to talk about. I'm not impressed that you guys are not calling in so that we can hear it. Get it off your chest, all right? Okay, let me give them a chance to get it off their chest, and I'm going to refresh my phone anyway. I'm going to pay you guys something just to wake you up because this is my bad girl, Rihanna. She's got the Friday night coined with Cheers, Drink to That. I don't know if you know that song, but
you
one
like
that
Rihanna?
I love.
You like Rihanna?
I love Rihanna. Yeah,
she
I like her.
Dark.
I like.
She is dark.
She's a bad girl.
She has a very dark personality.
Oh, she has. I know. But you know, I like that. I like the kind of attitude that she has. You know, I don't agree with all of her stuff, but you know, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes you got to say, put your fingers up to the world and say whatever, because, you know, I'm going to do what I do anyway, and people need to just get over it. So I kind of, some of it I agree with. Some of it I'm like, she's just a young lady that needs to grow up a bit, and she will in time. It's a time
and,
thing.
And tell Chef, I'm mad at him for name dropping. I didn't drop no name. he put the name out there. I didn't even drop the name.
Chef knows my number. The number for this show is 347-838-8622 if you guys want to call in. I'm going to play Rihanna, refresh my phone, and then you guys call in. We'll have a chat. Speak to you soon. Hold on there for me, N2.
Take your shots in here. You want one?
going to bring some people in because I know they're online. So, Goofy, Mr. Talk's not in tonight, and I'm covering him. So he asked me to sit in. And I only played the song because people aren't calling in, so I'm trying to encourage people to call in. So I took a little break and refreshed my phone. Yeah, and I know some people are Rihanna haters, but there you go.
No, I'm just wondering because I called in and I'm not used to hearing music on there.
Well, I played some music at the beginning, but I thought it might encourage people to call in. I put some music there.
Is there a topic or are we just talking about whatever?
No, there's a topic. He said, get it off your chest Friday. So if you guys have anything to get off your chest, now's the opportunity. I've got Into Knowledge on. Do you guys want to say hi?
What's up, Goofy?
What's crack-a-lagging?
Man, I'm just, I'm trying to maintain. That's all.
Is it just us three?
Say what now?
Is it just us three?
Hey, are you right about what?
No, I said, is it just us three? You, me, and Ebony on the line?
Yeah, it's just three of us at the moment.
There are a couple of other people there, but they haven't put their hands up, so I don't know if they want to come in. I'll find out who they are while you guys chat. But, Goofy, is there anything you want to get off your chest? It's Friday.
Okay. Nothing that I have. I mean, I just want to see a good verdict on this George Zimmerman trial.
What kind of verdict do you want to see?
So I would love to see second-degree murder, but I know they're going to give him manslaughter, I hope. I really hope.
Yeah, he's dead to right for manslaughter. He's dead to right. And Judge Nelson, she invoked that so that he's not just being tried for murder, too. She actually scaled it down so that they can convict him of manslaughter if they agree. So they have that option now. They're going to get it for manslaughter.
No, I'm surprised that they didn't add that extra initiative, but if you kill a young kid under the age of 18, that you get an extra like an extra sentence on that. I'm surprised they didn't throw that into it because that's an extra enhancement that should be put on there.
If they get him for manslaughter, he's going to do a minimum of 5 to 10. Minimum.
Oh, of course.
That's justifiable. That's justifiable. I don't think people should be upset about that. He's going to do 5 to 10. If he gets convicted for manslaughter, he's not. Personally, I don't think he's going to get convicted for murder too, because the evidence doesn't prove that. Beyond a reasonable doubt that he had a malicious intent. The evidence doesn't prove that. Now, we can sit and argue, and I'm not talking about you and me. I'm just saying people can sit and argue and say he had a malicious intent. However, the jury has to go based off the evidence, and the prosecution hasn't proved that at all. Manslaughter, he's dead to right. He killed somebody. He might not have set out to kill that particular individual, even though a lot of people think that he did. However, when you're looking at the preponderance of evidence, it doesn't prove that he had malicious intent. It's just the evidence doesn't prove, because there's no witnesses. And the one guy who actually saw Trayvon on top of him, he didn't even see the fight out to the end. All he said was, oh, yeah, when I looked out the window, this black guy was on top of this white guy or Hispanic guy or whoever he is, and then that's all I saw. That's not enough.
Well, I just want to see justice served. This poor kid didn't even get a chance to enjoy life. Not even graduate, not even, I don't know if he had a job, but I mean, you're 17 years old, you're barely experiencing life. And this kid was judged by his skin color. He was judged by the clothes that he wore. And I think that's totally injustice to where someone could sit there and judge somebody, take them out, and then try to cover it all up, acting like this guy was on pursuit to rob somebody with a bag of Skittles. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's completely stupid. But what scares me is Florida has been known to fuck up a lot of things. Let's take a look at George Bush, how he got into office. Let's take a look at Tracy Anthony, how she got away easily. And I think there was a couple of other rappers that got away with some gun charges because of their status. I mean, Florida is not what we like to call a equal justice area. I mean, if you have the right people on your side, I mean, you could possibly get away with murder. Seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the evidence was all right there. I mean, her own daughter. She doesn't get charged for child neglect or anything like that. Her daughter's killed. That's her responsibility. And the way the poor child was killed, they still let this woman walk. And I'm sorry to say, but that is fucking stupid. To let her child get taken and get killed, and then she's out there partying like there ain't no tomorrow. Seriously, something's wrong in the state of Florida. They're going to let things like that happen. And I just
you talking about Trayvon's mother?
No. I'm talking about Casey Anthony.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, you know, Trayvon's mom and dad, they had nothing to do. They thought their child's grown. You know, he went to the store to buy something to snack on. You know, that is the worst thing that a mother could think, that, oh, that's the last time I'm going to see my son. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Goofy, let me share this with you. You know, Trayvon's mother got rid of him and sent him to his dad because she couldn't do nothing with him.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the reason why he was in Sanford, because the mom was in Miami. She don't even live in Sanford. She lives in Miami. And he was getting into so much trouble in Miami.
Wow.
Go ahead, Ebony. Go ahead.
No, I said, so she sent her son to stay with his dad. And this
That's
is
right,
he got
because
killed.
Because he was getting into trouble and she couldn't handle him.
Wow.
But that's the part that they won't let in to the trial. Judge Nelson is not letting past instances be a part of the trial. So Zimmerman's past, he was accused of he went to court, he got arrested for domestic violence. He got arrested for misdemeanor assault with a police officer, and he had a felony charge for an assault on a police officer. And all of that shit got squashed. All of it.
Mm-hmm. And to think, if that felony charge would have stayed, Zimmerman would never have a gun, Trayvon Martin
exactly.
would still be alive, and we wouldn't be talking about this right now.
Exactly.
Wow.
And they didn't allow any of that into the court proceeding. So they weren't able to talk about George Zimmerman in terms of all they talked about with George Zimmerman was his MMA training, trying to be a police officer, all that old crap. But they didn't allow any psychological profile information to be added in, because now when you add that in, you got Trayvon on Facebook with his shirt off holding a gun. You got Zimmerman, who on the other side, on the flip side of the coin, he got his little dirty laundry. So she was like, nope, we're not letting any of that stuff in. We're just dealing with the evidence. That's it.
Well,
and I'm glad that they didn't bring nothing from the past, because in a lot of cases, the past will fuck up the jury to think that that person is whatever, whatever. And that's how a lot of cases get thrown a certain way, because they try to bring in the past. And what people need to realize is, it don't matter what the past, it matters what happened at the time of the incident that you're in court for.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter
exactly.
if somebody, you know, is mean to people, somebody, you know, a little nuisance. They're human beings. They know right and wrong. Trayvon wasn't out there to rob the liquor store to get his Skittles. He didn't pose no threat to nobody in that store. What makes you
exactly.
think he's going to go out to society and just start scaring people and you know, try to provoke fear? Hey, motherfucker, I got my Skittles. I'm ready to take motherfuckers on. You know what I mean? And my heart goes out to that family, man. I mean, this should have never happened. But this is America.
That's right.
And things happen for the stupidest reason. And just, we got to sit back and watch it.
And just so that you know, Goofy and Ebony, I have the live stream on. The jury is deliberating right now.
I think they're in, what, an hour and a half already deliberating? I was watching the closing argument.
Yeah, no, the jury went in about an hour ago.
Oh, okay.
They're in right now. So I'm just waiting to see when they come back out. They might not come back out today. It might be tomorrow, whatever the case may be. And what I think is they're going to get him on manslaughter. They're not going to get him on murder, too. I would be surprised if he gets convicted of murder, too. I would really be surprised.
Yeah, I don't think that they get to convict him on murder, too. I think manslaughter, and that would probably be the best.
And I think manslaughter is justified. I think that's justified. That's what he's guilty of. Because me and Goofy, we talked about this before. Who the fuck yells for help when they have a gun?
Exactly.
Really? I got a 9mm and I'm yelling for help. And the cat that's whooping my ass don't have a gun, but I'm screaming for help. Really? And the prosecution has been trash this whole case. They need to go sit down somewhere. They really do. They ain't worth, and the fact that they're making the money that they're making is a travesty of justice. Their asses need to be on trial for being incompetent. They are incompetent. And that's just how I feel.
I just think it's so funny how Trayvon Martin had so many arms to do all the things that Zimmerman said. Okay, let's remember he was bashing his head in, so that takes two hands, okay? He was covering his mouth and holding his nose and telling him he's going to die, so that's another two hands. And then he was reaching for the gun, which was towards Zimmerman's butt cheek, so that's another hand. So that's what, five hands that Trayvon Martin had in that little time of frame of where the incident happened. I think this guy, he told too many lies, and it's all catching up with him. And I really pray that this kid gets justice. Because for this guy to say that, okay, I was getting my ass beat, and I had to take out the gun, your injuries don't even look like an ass beating. Your
right.
injuries look like a little scuffle. You know?
Right.
If you were, I mean, I can understand if this face was completely full of blood, his wounds in the back of the head, he had lumps, you know.
He got a black eye or two.
Yeah.
Discoloration, something.
Something.
He didn't have none of that shit.
And my head's been slammed on the ground a couple of times, and I've had lumps like fucking camel's humps. And you don't even see that in his fucking head. You just see a little scar, perfectly cut. You know, the blood's perfectly going down. I mean,
maybe that's why your ass is crazy, Goofy.
Man.
I'm fucking with you.
No, for real, though. The way that this guy, claimed that his injuries were like he was getting killed. He had to shoot that kid to save his life.
Right. In other words, he was saying he was getting pummeled.
Yeah. He was getting beaten, and there's no way out of getting beaten, so he had to pull the gun. Screaming help and everything else like that. I mean, what a crock of fucking shit, man.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. Because I know if I got a 9 double limb, if I got any kind of heat, I ain't hollering it for help. I'm busting caps. That's it. We done.
And there's no questions, there's no answers, there's nothing.
Yeah, because we only get to hear one side of the story. We don't get to hear the other side.
And I always had the feeling, once I heard the help me 911 thing, I had the feeling that maybe Trayvon did, whip him up, then try to get up off of him, and then that's where fucking Zimmerman fucking pulled out that gun and got him.
Exactly. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that's what happened. Trayvon got the best of him. George Zimmerman.
All right, okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Ebony's
someone wanted
back.
To come in.
Oh, sorry, Ebony. What happened?
I think Chef Rob wanted to come in, but I couldn't see his hand up, so I was trying to bring him in. Okay. You're on, Chef Rob.
How we doing?
What's going on,
how
Chef?
You?
All right.
Some food, Chef Rob.
What's on the grill, Chef? I'm hungry.
Not till later, man. I just got to do some prep and get ready for later on tonight. I wanted to go ahead and chime in on a couple of things. Goofy, I had to disagree with you on one thing. But I agree with you, but I disagree with you. And I think that the past makes a big difference. But you got to go ahead and establish that mindset of a person like Zimmerman before he went at Trayvon. Trayvon don't have a history of going ahead going at people. But George Zimmerman had those previous phone calls or calling in on people like Trayvon. And he came out with a loaded weapon. He knew what he was doing. Also, his past still plays a bigger part because he also had training. He also had police training. He also had a lot of training in that. Hello?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Oh, he went through some courses already. He went through a lot of police courses already. So this guy knew what he was doing, and he knew what he was saying the whole time. His past makes a real big difference, and I think they really should have focused in on a little bit more on that mindset of what he was thinking up until the time he said, well, these fucking punks, these assholes always get away.
But let me ask you this, Rob. Judge Nelson didn't allow any of the past stuff to be a part of the trial. She said that from the very first day. We're not doing no psychological background stuff. We're not going in the past history. We're just dealing with it the way it is now. Why do you think she did that?
I have no clue. I can't tell what another person's thinking. But I know that it's on the outside looking in, it really looks wrong to really establish what this guy was thinking up until the gun went off. Another thing was, I think one of you guys mentioned that, I think it was you, Goofy, when he was talking about, he was yelling, screaming for help, help, and help. And I mean, like, you got a pistol, man. I mean, I don't get how, you screaming for help and you got a gun in your hand. But when the gun goes off, the screaming for help stops. I mean, I just don't understand how they can anyway go ahead and dispute who was doing the screaming.
That's because That's because in a court of law, scientifically, they can't prove a person's voice when there's an alter. No, listen to what I'm saying. Just based on the case, that's how they're adjudicating it. They can't scientifically, because they wanted to bring in a voice interpreter. They wanted to bring him in. And the Judge Nelson didn't allow it because scientifically you can't determine whose voice it is. And I don't know if you noticed that a couple of days ago they had the guy, a private investigator or somebody, who was on, who was saying that, well, I mean, you can't determine whose voice this is. And she wouldn't, Judge Nelson would not allow them to take that voice interpretation and bring in an expert who was involved in, you know, determining how that works out. She wouldn't allow it. She closed the door on that shit.
And you know what pissed me off is when they said that, I'm sorry, Evan, when they said that George Zimmerman was hurt knowing the fact that Trayvon died. You shot a man, and you're there trying to spread out his arms. The guy's bleeding to death, and you're not even, you know, you're still taking him as a suspect who broke into somebody's house. I mean,
you know something else, Goofy? Also, after George Zimmerman shot him, he wasn't the one calling 911.
I know.
He wasn't doing it seems like when he was standing around waiting for the police, other people to call, he should have been one screaming, hey, look, after that shot, after the screams for help had stopped, he should have been screaming, man, I shot somebody. He should have been screaming. No, I just think, I feel like this. I feel like George Zimmerman approached Trayvon. Trayvon got the whoop in his ass and then pushed up off and got up off him. George Zimmerman got off the ground, shot him in the chest. That's what I feel.
And I'll tell you right now, where the gun was that George Zimmerman said it was like on his like right butt cheek.
Exactly.
Trayvon Martin was supposedly going for it. How the fuck can you see it if you're on the ground? How the fuck can Trayvon Martin could be going for the gun? If they were going for the gun, there would have been more than one shot. Seriously.
Yeah.
That motherfucker, he timed it perfect. And he shot him perfect, because he shot him dead in the heart. Yeah. You know, there was no shot in the kidney or anything. Like, he shot him right dead in the fucking heart.
Yeah, he did.
Nobody notices that.
Yeah, he did. And just so that you know, Ebony, it's get it off your chest Friday. I just got a PM from All Facts, who says I'm talking stupid. I want him to call in. he said I'm talking stupid.
Everyone, it was fun hanging out with you guys, but I think that's Mike.
And I said, I said if he wants to call in, he's free to call in. But I tell you what's interesting. I went online to have a look at what people are saying about the closing statements, and there is a write up by someone called Robin Abakarian. And she says, every time CNN courtroom cameras linger on the face, the sad face of George Zimmerman today, I felt slightly sick. What a nauseating set of events he unleashed on that drizzly Florida night nearly 17 months ago. He may not be a murderer. Only the sixth jury of women will make that judgment, but he certainly is a killer. He's taken one life and ruined his own. The case has also ensnared his wife, who faces criminal charges for telling a judge at a bond hearing that they were broke when their accounts were fat with donations from supporters. How ironic it would be if he was set free while she went to jail. And yet, as we sat there listening to the closing arguments of the prosecutor, Bernie D. LaRonia, who pointed out the many holes in Zimmerman's story about how he came to shoot Trayvon Martin, I felt a twinge of compassion, just a genuine sense of sadness that his disastrous disastrous judgment has left one family with a dead child, another with a son potentially facing years in prison. Over the course of the trial, which began June 24th, Zimmerman has barely, been emotional at any time. But today, he held his eyes down. He shook his head. he betrayed emotions he hasn't shown for the last few weeks. He is pathetic, but very, very lucky. He has the luxury of knowing that the jury will give him the benefit of the doubt. That is, of course, the very thing he denied Trayvon Martin on the night he took his life. So I think a lot of people do think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. He will get off. He certainly has had a lot of financial support to help him get the best representation he could ever get. And I think that's the problem, that the prosecutors have not been strong enough. Maybe the family couldn't afford the money to get the right, person in their corner, but he certainly has had a lot of financial support, and I think that's why he'll probably walk.
The judge has introduced manslaughter. That's the thing that's going to get him. He's going to jail. If she would have said it's murder two or nothing, then he walks.
Okay.
She said today, okay, here's the rules for murder two. And then after she explained everything and she read the letter of the law, she said, here's the rules for manslaughter. He can be convicted on either one. They're going to get him for manslaughter. They're going to get him.
Right.
They're not going to get him for murder two. He's not going down for that.
No, he's not going down.
He's going down for manslaughter. And the only reason why he's going down for manslaughter is because she gave the jury that option. And they're going to – I honestly believe he's going to get convicted of manslaughter. Now, if he doesn't get convicted of manslaughter, all bets are off. It's going to be ugly. That's when it's going to get ugly. If he doesn't get convicted of manslaughter, yeah, people are going to be real upset, real upset.
You know, let me tell you something real quick, man. I was having a discussion with one of my relatives who's a cop here in Chicago, right? And we're trying to do something in this one in Inglewood in Chicago. It's one of the worst places. In Chicago, they have the most murders. This past week, they had the most murders and stuff in Chicago. Okay. He brought up something that I've been saying from the beginning, and I agree with him. I think the Trayvon Martin thing, this is a real tragic thing. I feel for the family. But my cousin was also pointing out the fact that, hey, look, that black-on-black crime thing is even worse and killing more people. And I think that the Jesse Jacksons and all these people have taken this show, have shown that they saw this opportunity to make another buck. And one of the bigger things Trayvon Martin, they wiped out a whole lot of school programs and stuff, after school programs for kids. It would have been another thing for him to have something to do, like a lot of other black kids in America. Have something for him to do, so he wouldn't have gotten. He wouldn't have had developed that pass he was having that they kept, that the defense kept trying to go ahead and show him. He got in trouble here. He got in trouble there. And my cousin was talking more and more about the black on black crime and how that's not really being put into the spotlight, and it's being shunned and pushed under the rug, and not even dealt with. Last year there were close to 540 some murders, and most of them black. Before the holiday weekend, everybody that was shot during that weekend was black. And that's not something that's not even been talked about. So when this Trayvon Martin thing ends, which I really feel that George Zimmerman gonna go to jail, what's next? What are you gonna do next? Because it's a situation like that, Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, happening almost every day, at least every week here in America. What's next? What do we do next?
Let me ask you something, Chef. Let me ask you something. My best friend, I'm from Oakland, California. My best friend is from west side of Chicago. I talk to him at least 2-3 times a week. This is my best friend. He was on crack and got himself off of crack. And mm-hmm. he became my friend when we were working at UPS in Oakland at the airport. And I done sat and chopped it up with this brother ad nauseum. And, you know, he's very passionate about his town, mm-hmm. which is Chicago, even though he's been in Oakland for the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell my boy nothing about Chicago because we talked about, I saw a show, who was that kid? They did it on ESPN that played basketball, who got shot and killed. What was his name? He played with Nick Anderson.
Yeah, he went to school with one of my sisters.
Yeah. What's the name of the school? And it escapes me right now.
They call him Benjamin or Benny or something like that.
Benny. Yeah. And the same person that went to the – and guess who wore his jersey number? Juwan Howard.
Yeah.
Okay? You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
So I have an affection. I have an affinity for Chicago because – my homeboy got me to love Chicago, Cabrini Green, which they didn't close down, all that type stuff. And then when the gang shit came to California, which was you had the Blackstone Rangers,
yeah,
the El Rucan,
right.
The Pyrus,
right.
That's all Chicago.
But
what I'm saying is, when that came to L.A., they turned it into the Crips and the Bloods.
Right.
And
okay.
A lot of people don't
Hold
even
on, guys,
know.
Right. Hold on, guys. I think 8327 wants to come in. 8327?
Yeah, it's your mic. Low.
Hi, What's how that? Are you?
Good, how you doing?
I'm good.
What's
I'm
up,
good.
Fellas?
Welcome to the
how you
show.
Doing?
What's going on, my good man?
I'm good. This is N.O. Low. Like I said, I'm listening, and I'm very sympathetic to what everybody's saying in reference to, Zimmerman, he looks sympathetic. Oh, okay, they played him up. They told him, hey, you know what, you need to start showing some emotion because, you know, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. This is what I feel. I haven't sat and watched any of this because it pisses me off from the very beginning. Because this could have very well been any one of our children.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
We're not talking about an adult. We're talking about a child, regardless to how old Trayvon Martin was or whether he whooped that grown man's behind or not. We're still talking about a child. He was not an adult. And I'm going to say it till the day I die. Lord, bless me to never forget this. But if he, Zimmerman, would have never followed that boy, we wouldn't be talking about this right now.
Exactly.
People have gotten beyond that. They talking about, oh, well, he might get this. Well, the judge did this, and the judge didn't want everybody to hear about that. Excuse me. My question, my question is, why wouldn't he? Damn.
That's good weed.
Oh, man.
He's smoking that icky.
My question is, why wouldn't you want his past to be known? I mean,
exactly.
You put Trayvon Martin out there on a platter.
Exactly.
And you put him out there so bad that they had to apologize for some of the stuff they said about him because it was slandering.
And George Zimmerman has a pass to go ahead and bid against black folks. And here's something else. When you go ahead,
right.
you look at what George Zimmerman was. That's America, okay. When the American justice system don't go ahead and want to deal with the beginning, okay, they'll twist around
right.
the beginning and get to the middle and then try to get an ending in their favor. That's the American
right.
justice system. Because I got some problems right.
right
now. All they seem to be concentrating on is what happened in the middle, not what happened
right.
in the beginning. And which
right.
just makes me sick because they don't want no one. When you deal with the beginning, that wipes out any defense you got.
Right.
But here's where we have to deal with the court of law. I understand what both you brothers are saying, and I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But the Judge Nelson is not allowing any of that stuff in the testimony.
Okay.
She has totally eliminated that, and maybe to her discredit that she's not doing it. And I think that her motivation for doing that is because she's trying to keep the shit non-racial, which is really hard to do. It's really hard.
I have to disagree with that, man, because, I mean, if it was racial from the very beginning, then you can't make it or keep it non-racial. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, you got this guy, he feel like a failure off top because he's nothing but a security guard.
Right.
And you got this young black kid walking through this neighborhood, and all of a sudden, oh, look at those thugs, those assholes, this and that, that and this. You know that boy from Adam. And so off top, he's stereotyping. I don't care what anybody say. That boy could have been a straight A student. It doesn't matter. He's stereotyping.
Right. So, and let me add to that, because you said you disagree with me. However, I agree with you, because George Zimmerman, look at his whole family. His father is a retired magistrate judge.
Right.
His mother is a court clerk. She's a clerk of the court. His uncle, his father's brother, is a sheriff. So here's a guy who's completely disenfranchised. His whole family is involved in the legal arena in some form or fashion. And he couldn't find his way in. So what he did was he tried to figure out how to get in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be, and here's the thing that nobody's talking about. When you're neighborhood watch, which means that you are registered with the police department, you can't even carry a gun. Why did the prosecution never bring that up? They never talked about it. He's not even supposed to have a gun on neighborhood watch.
I was wondering about that too.
They weren't supposed to. See now we're getting down to the nuts and bolts of the justice.
Yeah, we're getting down with the get down now.
Yeah. See now you got what happens if, and I don't care what anybody say, George Zimmerman is a white man. His daddy is white, he's white. You can have all the fertile soil you got right out there in front of you. But if you never put a seed in it, you don't have anything to grow from it. So now you have a white boy that shot a black person. That's what you have in this situation. And this is what they're going to do. They'll bring out, oh, the prosecution isn't pushing hard enough. And they were told what to do and what not to do. I mean, you have this district attorney who's sitting up in his office, you know, talking to somebody that's talking to somebody else to know these people to say, hey, you know, I need a soft shoe on this one. I know these people. Georgie, he's a good kid. I like him. You know, he's just been given some bad breaks. That's all. You know, he didn't know what was going on with that guy. Some black kid walking looking like a thug or something. You know, that's all we're equated to anyway, regardless of who we are. But anyway, you got that. And then on the other hand, I keep saying it. Turn this thing around. That George Zimmerman would have been Raheem Washington and shot little Tommy. We wouldn't even be going through all of this. And it doesn't matter how anyone feels about it. It's the truth. America, you always want to deal with bullshit in certain situations and put the truth to the side. Now, let's be honest. Nobody gave a damn and still doesn't give a damn about Rick Ross making all these songs about, yeah, I sell drugs, yeah, I smoke dope, yeah, I kill N-words, yeah, I do this and do that, yeah, I pull a pistol, this and that. No one gave a damn. Reebok loved it because they were making money off of it. He make one song and say something about raping some woman. You get all these white women up in arms about that. It didn't have anything to do with LaQuisha and them. They, who give a damn about LaQuisha and them? Who give a damn? They don't buy cross trainers. Right
on. I agree.
You
agree.
Got one.
You're right.
You got all these white women. I'm boycotting Reebok. This is an outrage. All of a sudden, the morals clause. Get the fuck out of here. What are the morals and values with selling drugs and talking about killing people and all this stuff? There are no morals for that. There are no values for that. So, like I said, we're just getting down to the nuts and bolts. They're making it easy when that woman said, well, these are your two options that you have you can charge him with. So, basically what's going to happen is when he get, if he walk out of there or if he go to prison for those few years, it will be very cheap to kill a black person.
And wow. and based on what he just said, he should have been the prosecuting attorney.
Yeah.
I said it. My man, he's on some shit.
Hold on.
He's got to figure it out.
Hold on. but Evan Nick.
He should have been the prosecuting attorney.
Yeah.
He should have been. Do you have a law degree, my brother? Do you have a law degree?
From the streets.
That's not what I asked.
Yeah.
Do you have a law degree?
No, not at all.
You need to go into the legal profession.
I'll make it plain, bro. I'm just a dumb country boy that know how to think.
No, you ain't dumb by no stretch of the imagination. And don't ever say that.
Did you say dumb?
Yeah.
Shifrup?
No, he ain't dumb.
No, I said that. That's a dumb country boy that can think through situations. That's all.
You're highly intellectual. Listen to me. You are highly intellectual.
I appreciate you missing
your calling because you need to get involved. You need to get involved and start doing something because let me tell you something, bro. Whether we agree or disagree, it's okay to disagree.
Absolutely.
Just don't be disagreeable. And
right.
You got the gift. You got the gift, kid. I'm telling you.
And
that's just me. I'm telling you. You got the gift.
You, bro.
And I so agree. But I want to tell the listeners out there, you have 27 minutes and 49 seconds to call into this show if you want your voice to be heard, if you want to get something off your chest on this Friday. Here's your opportunity. As someone calling in, 5782, let me bring them in. 5782, welcome to the show. Welcome to Mr. Talk Show.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I just want to say that I think Enolo is a fucking asshole.
I'll be one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we got a troll. Let him talk.
Let him talk. I was wondering if he was schooled in okay.
It don't matter. Let him talk.
All right, come on. 5782.
So that everybody can see
what
how an ignorant person talks.
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening? I knew exactly who it was. What's up, cuz?
What's up, cuz?
I can't call it.
Oh,
and
you're right.
I am an asshole. You absolutely right. A stinking asshole with hair on it.
You're supposed to know me better than that, man. You weren't supposed to make me get calls on you.
Oh,
like
this is
oh,
Mr.
Like
Mike.
I said, I knew who it was.
This is Mr. Mike.
That's burning.
No.
That's burning, man.
This is all facts.
That's burning, man.
No, that's Vernon.
Oh, Vernon. That's my homeboy. Yeah,
Vernon.
That's my homeboy.
Yeah.
From Arkansas.
Vernon,
Arkansas.
I have to say, right, Vernon, I have to say, Vernon, your choice of language is not great. I allow it because it's Mr. Talk Show, but you know what? Hey, you need to clean it up. Clean it up. Oh, my God.
How you doing, Ebony?
I'm good.
What's up, Vernon?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm just sitting back. I had to come in and pick a little bit. Y'all had got real serious, and I was sitting here listening, man, and I kind of felt like I was in the courtroom, man. I got this.
That's hey, good. That's good.
I got to applaud my cousin on a good job, and I got to applaud Knowledge on a good job and Ebony on a good job. Man, I'm serious, man. I think if George Zimmerman was sitting in front of y'all, that bathroom would be sweating right now, man.
Man, shit. Ain't no need to sweating. Ain't no need to sweating. Because you know the name I'm about to say. And I don't mean to cut y'all, but I tell him straight up, hey, Frank Cromwell's funeral home come and get you in a few minutes.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. They back in the courtroom. I don't know if you guys got the live stream. I got the live stream. They back in the courtroom now.
This isn't gonna be like the OJ case, I'm sure, where you had many black people, yay, and the white people, oh no, how did this happen? Come on.
So is there a result? Do we have a result?
It is bad. No, it says something about a jury question, what it's saying. It is sad that they have they have attacked this kid, you know, and they brought up everything they could on
Trayvon Martin.
Zimmerman is, you can only say so much about him, so I don't think it's so much that the prosecutor is not doing a good job as it is so much that he held his handcuff, man. In that courtroom, he's handcuffed. He can only bring up so much stuff, man.
Man, yeah. the prosecution got all the money. The taxpayers paid for the prosecution.
That's true. Okay. But
unlimited resources.
What's the title of the guy that's running the prosecution? What's his title?
O'Meara.
Is he Mark
O'Meara?
Is he like a deputy, or is he assistant? What is he?
No, he works for the state. He's a prosecuting attorney. He's not.
Okay.
He's not the DA. He's not the district attorney. He's just a prosecuting attorney. He works for the state of Florida. That's it.
Okay. The reason why I asked is...
And he has been very, very limited on what he can, you know, the things he can bring up, man. I mean, the guy handcuffed, man.
That guy is handcuffed because somewhere down the line he'll get a favor for this. In the next position that he's looking to get, he'll get it easier.
Exactly.
Hello, I mean I understand what you're saying, but the cuffs was put on before the trial even started, man.
The jury is back in the courtroom. They're about
to come in, guys. 2122, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
So who that big Chris? Okay.
This is David from the barbershop.
Speak up, David.
I thought y'all was going to announce something about the trial. That's why I didn't say anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I told y'all I was going to call in from the barbershop.
Oh, you know, no longer than they've been deliberating, you know, they're going to have to keep you darkies in suspense on this for a little while.
They're back in the courtroom right now. I'm watching it. They're about to give the verdict.
Ask another question. You sure?
Yeah.
They're about to ask another question.
Hold on. Are they about to ask another question?
It's saying the jury question. That's what it was last I seen.
What do you think, David? What do you think of the outcome's going to be?
jury asked for a, what was damn, they took it down.
I didn't have them watching the trial, but I think that everybody's already made and formed their own opinion.
Okay.
Either way, it's a bad situation. I mean, either way, it's a messed up situation because George Zimmerman, if he gets off, he's going to, somebody's going to kill him. If he goes to jail, somebody's going to kill him. Unfortunately,
someone's going to kill him. They let him go, someone will kill him.
Nobody's going to kill him because he's not going to be in general population. He's not going
to
be in
general population.
You don't have to be in general population. Wait a minute. Hold it. You remember Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yes.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer, he wasn't in general population.
Absolutely.
And he got killed.
Absolutely.
He was fucking eating people.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, Knowledge.
Doc, me show you.
Let me ask you a question, Knowledge. You ever ate somebody before?
Hell fucking no. Okay, did I answer that correctly? And did I answer that in the time that was reserved? Hell fucking no.
Knowledge, you couldn't just say hell no.
I'm talking Ebony. I'm not being disrespectful, but you got men on the line, and this is how men talk. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. So let me rephrase that. Hell to the no.
Okay.
Hell to the no.
What are we gonna do
if it's George Zimmerman does get off?
Right.
Yeah.
That's my question. That's the ultimate question. What are we gonna do?
Because we're talking about this case and making a mountain out of this case, but what about what's going on in Chicago? How come the media isn't covering that?
Thank you.
And you bring up a good question. Guess what? The guy that shot up the movie theater in Colorado over a year ago, he's on trial right now, and it's not getting no publicity.
So what are we going to do about that?
And here's what people don't even know about that trial.
Hold on. I live in Chicago. I'm in Chicago. Let me throw something else at you, Mr. Lawless. Like I said earlier, over 500 people got killed play last year. And let me tell you something. You go ask your boy. This wasn't just last year. This has been going on for almost 30-something years. Okay? And ain't too many people doing nothing about it. That's why I go ahead and say the Zimmerman trial, this thing here is bad. It's tragic for the market. But this has been going on for over 30-something years, playboy. Ain't nobody really giving a damn. People just making money off of it.
What about the guy?
I agree.
That guy sounded like Big Chris, man. You sure that ain't Big Chris?
No, you know who I am. David Barbershop, man.
That ain't sound like Big Chris.
I agree with the brother saying, and my homeboy, just to share this with you, Chef, my homeboy from Chicago, man, he tears me a new asshole every time he gets a chance. Because I be championing that Oakland shit, and he's in Oakland, and he's like, he can't stand Oakland niggas. He can't stand them. And he's my Chicago nigga. But at the end of the day, that's my best friend. Okay? So whether we agree or disagree, that shit don't even matter, because at the end of the day, we on the same team. And this is what this case is going to be. This is why this case is going to be a defining moment, because it's going to let everybody know what team you on.
Well, no.
What team you on?
It's not. Their name is Knowledge?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What about the guy that shot up Fort Hood? That was a Muslim white guy. He shot a black, white, everybody. How come he's not on trial? That's 4 years later.
Right. He's about to be on trial. It's coming.
He's about to be on trial. George Zimmerman, that happened like, what, 8 months ago with George Zimmerman?
No, that was 13 months ago.
Okay.
Trayvon Martin got killed over a year ago. In February, actually. He got killed in February of last year.
The people who've been shot up on Fort Hood, I mean, when are they going to get justice?
Man, that's the world we live in, bro. That's the world we live in. We can't get everybody at the same time. And here's what they're doing. The reason why they're putting all these trials on and the reason why they're doing this is because now they're going to start rounding up motherfuckers. That's where this is going. They're going to start rounding everybody up. So the question that you ask, how come so-and-so ain't on trial? How come so-and-so ain't on trial? Guess what? We going to all be on trial at some point in time.
It's called limiting gun control. I mean, it's called making gun control laws that aren't right for people, law-abiding citizens. That's what's
okay. Here's what I'd like you to do. Go research the Global Report and go research Agenda 21, which came out in 1980. Agenda 21. Go research that. And what it's going to tell you is how things are going to be litigated in the public arena and how we're going to bring down, and I'm not talking about us when I say we, I'm saying the powers that be, how they're going to bring down society. Agenda 21, Global Report 2000. Go research those two things. And then talk to me.
Okay.
You don't need guns.
Well, you know what, Knowledge? You could save us the research and just tell us the results.
Yeah, you could do that.
Basically, what Agenda 21 talks about and the Global Report 2000 talks about, and this was during the Reagan administration, was they put information out on how they are going to destabilize the country. They're going to depopulate the country. They're going to do it, and they're going to do it in terms of Malcolm X, and I quote, by any means necessary.
Well,
and they're going to handle it, and they're going to handle it. And what they're going to do is they're going to give us cases where we can fight over whether it's racial, whether it's this or that. And see, this is what people don't understand. Man, racism is a tool of the elite. It's not, it doesn't exist.
I don't necessarily agree with that, you know.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it sounds good for theory, but black people kill black people. When I got robbed, I wasn't robbed by the white guy. I was robbed by a black
man. That was systematic. What are you talking about? Huh? I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, of course black people killing black people. That's an agenda that was set years ago.
So, okay.
I tell you what. We've had two world wars, and there's supposed to be one more. And I will tell you, the man that predicted these world wars, supposedly predicted, his name is Albert Pike.
Chef, who's Albert Pike? And does anybody know about him? I know him. I've read on him. He's the only Mason that has a statue in Washington, D.C. He's called the Pope of Freemasonry.
I was just going to say that he's the only man that wasn't like a congressman or president or something that has a statue up there. You know, I wasn't going over there.
Can the chef say something?
But check it out. He's the only Freemason that they dedicated a statue towards. And guess what? George Washington, Freemason. Thomas Jefferson, Freemason. Benjamin Franklin, Freemason. They all are part of the same group.
So let me ask you something, seriously. Who comes up to somebody that says, hey, annihilate your race for me? I grew up in Philadelphia. There wasn't nobody sitting up there talking, going to a group study or group meeting. Saying that. So it's not systematic. It's us.
Really?
It's not systematic?
Really?
You're in Philadelphia, right?
I'm from Philadelphia.
Why do you think let me ask you a question. You're in Philadelphia. Why do you think you have a cracked bell?
Well, I can be honest with you. I'm still here. I can be honest with you. The dudes that I was talking to in Philly, they weren't white. They were all black. So
you didn't answer my question. Why do you think you have a cracked bell as your monument?
Because it was cracked in 1778 or something like that.
No. There's an esoteric message that they're trying to tell you. The shit is crooked. It's crooked.
Man, stop that. Okay.
You don't want to hear it. The shit is crooked. The reason why the bell is cracked is because it's crooked. Everything that's done in this country is done illegally. It's crooked. And we give you images of the crookedness.
The bell was cracked. When somebody rung the bell, because it's full. It wouldn't be made like that because they have another.
Okay. I'll believe that if you want me to.
I just need to remind people there is 3 minutes of lifetime left, and then we go into overtime. So I don't know if you guys want to go into overtime tonight. So
yeah, we want to go into overtime, Ebony. We want to go.
I
applaud you for just sitting back and listening to this.
Okay, I'm going to let you go into overtime as long as you give me the verdict from, the trial, okay?
I'm still waiting. I have it on here.
Yeah, okay.
They haven't come back.
So you need to tell them to speed it up, right? Because I haven't got all night. So we've got 2 minutes left. Anybody who wants to call in, now's the time. If you're online, put your hand up if you want to come in. I've got one more person, 3216, who wants to come in. Let me just find out who that is. Keep looking. Sorry, someone got to go?
Yeah, it's David from Larry's Barbershop.
Okay, David.
I go. All right.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. He had to go. 3216, welcome to the show.
Is that what?
Hi to the most beautiful co-host I've ever known. Hello.
Oh, my God. Gucci, the show the fuck back up again.
I was just saying, Goofy, you know, what do I do with the sweetest guy on the line? What do I do? Okay.
I love Goofy. Goofy is the ball. Goofy is the ball. I can't be mad at him.
I'm going to tell you what, though, Goofy. That sweet shit is nowhere with a woman.
You know, Ebony, I can never be in your heart like Joe is, but I will try to be as close as possible.
Well, you know what, at the end of the show, Goofy, I have a song just for you. I've kept it just for you. So, listen in, hang in. I've got a little song for you that I've kept it especially for you. Right?
Oh, my God.
And I want to say hi to one of my other admirers out there, Black Author, who's listening in. Curtis, thank you so much for listening to the show tonight. He just sent me a message. Yeah, and you're my sweetie too, so I will play something for you too. But it's for all my admirers, really. But Goofy's the biggest one tonight, so, you know, I'm making sure it's for you especially, then everybody else can share it.
You're lucky you even have posters of yourself, Ebony. I'd have them all over my room.
Oh, my God, really?
Hey, you know what? I have to.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm really not old enough to listen to all of this. I'm not over trashy porno.
Well, I gotta worry if someone's got posters all over their room, because that sounds a little bit, you know, of an obsession.
Oh, come on, Ebony.
Woo-hoo!
Can I love a UK woman in peace without getting thrown to the curb? I mean, come on. Let me express my love from America, Ebony.
Oh, thank you. I've received it with love.
There's somebody out here that loves you, Ebony. Just remember that.
Thank you.
Well, that's the question. You know, I hate to bring a damper to all of this, you know, love.
Okay.
Why all these white people got these damn don't tread on me's on the back of their cars and trucks?
I don't know.
I have to acknowledge that for real. Don't tread on me with the little snake wrapper. I'm asking Hollis because I know he probably gets found.
The reason why they have those stickers is because they feel and they know that their rights are being infringed upon.
Oh.
And they're feeling less control over their situation.
Oh.
They've been in control of everything for so long, and now all the barriers are being broken down, and they can't even figure out where the hell this shit is going. So now they're like, they got these monikers. Oh, well, don't infringe upon me. Well, guess what? Ain't nobody infringing upon you. It's reality. It's reality.
Right. You're right. And I asked that. I already knew, but I just wanted you to put that out there so that people would understand, you know. And you're absolutely right. See, what's happening now is you have a lot of white people or you have a lot of people in general, especially a lot of fair-skinned Spaniards that have always pulled their white card when it was convenient for them. You know, I'm not black. I don't know anything about black people. And now
exactly.
that they're being treated almost the same as black people in the open. Hey, dude, don't tase me, dude. Don't tase me, dude. Now they're seeing what some of this stuff feels like, and they don't like it. But as long as it was good enough for our neighborhood, it was just fine. It was just good, you know.
And I'm gonna quote. If any of you have never seen this movie, you need to watch it. It's called Wall Street. And I'm gonna quote.
What's the movie called?
Wall Street.
I'm gonna quote Michael Douglas, who plays Gordon Gekko in the movie. And if you follow me, you understand why the gecko is famous now. It's from the movie, because nobody knew about a gecko before Wall Street, and then they put that shit out later. Now, here's what Michael Douglas said as Gordon Gekko in the movie. Did you think you were living in a democracy? This is free enterprise. Money is not owned. It is transferred. It moves from one person to another. You can never own money. And then what he says to Charlie is, I don't create anything. I own. Understand that. There's a difference between you thinking you create something, and there's a difference between you thinking you or knowing that you own. He says, what I do, investment banking, he said it. He said it in the movie. What I do is bullshit. People wonder where the paperclip comes comes from, how we pull this rabbit out of our hat. Motherfucker, do you not understand this? It's not the fact that I'm some successful individual. I own.
Right.
I did when he says I own, what he's telling you is when you own, you dictate
right. What
goes on.
Hold on,
you make the rules.
Yeah.
You don't abide by the rules. And I'm gonna tell you something. John D. Rockefeller said in a Senate hearing committee. John D. Rockefeller said, "Give me control of the money.
Yep.
I care not what your laws are."
Right.
Bottom line.
Right. Right. And he said that for a good reason too.
Done deal.
Absolutely.
Knowledge, I'm glad you said that to show people that money, just because you have money, you don't own it. That money is being thrown around like a neighborhood hooker. That money is not yours. That money is not, when you die, you cannot take that money. And people need to realize the difference. People think, oh, I have money, I own this. You know you don't. Fuck, you don't own shit. Unless you
exactly.
have a legal contract or a legal paper saying that you are the owner of this particular thing, then you don't own shit. Plain and simple.
Well, really, I'm going to hit you on that one right there, Goofy, because if you own a home and you could have the taxes paid up on it and everything, if the police or the government deems it necessary for eminent domicile, they're going to take it. Eminent domain, I'm sorry, they're going to take it.
No, yeah, they will. And I'll tell you right now, I had a fight with the city because they complained about my fence. I bought a fucking brand new fence around. They complained about it because it's supposed to be like maybe four inches away from the sidewalk. And I have that motherfucker right there on the sidewalk. And when that house was built, that's how the fence was built. But somebody complained to the fucking city, and now they want me to take out my whole fence and redo it all over again. It's going to cost me about $2,000, and then plus another $1,000 for the guy doing it. You know, I told the city to eat shit and suck my dick. Find me all you want.
Oh, my God. You'll wind up paying more in the city ordinances over time, breaking the city ordinances.
And you know what? You know what? I'll do that shit. Because that house has been there since the 1950s. Years that house has been there, they fucking want to complain about it now, about the Fed.
Let me ask you a question. And I don't want to be mean spirited when I ask you this, but you mean to tell me you couldn't get a couple of your cousins to take care of that for you?
No,
you couldn't get a couple of your cousins to take care of that for cheap. You talking about paying them a lot of pay, you wouldn't have to give your.
Let me ask you something, Chef.
I didn't say anything.
Let me ask you something, because you brought up something that most people don't even know about, which is eminent domain.
How about that?
Okay, I'm going to share something with you. Guess who dropped the knowledge on eminent domain when he was trying to move his football team from one location to another, and the league tried to block him. Now, you dropped the name on my brother-in-law, and I'm telling you who I'm talking about when I'm telling you who I'm talking about. Al Davis. Eminent domain. That was his lawsuit. And he won. And most people don't even understand what eminent domain means.
Wow.
You can never lose in a court of law when you introduce eminent domain. Somebody tried to block what he was doing. He was trying to move his team 500 miles. The league had a rule where they said, if as long as you're within 75 miles, you can move your team. But if you move your team out that 75-mile radius, you have to get approval from all the other teams. And he was like, no, this is an eminent domain situation. Guess how much money he won. Al Davis was the only person that sued the NFL and won. The only person. And guess how much money he got. He got, and he did this shit in 19, I think it was like 80.
95. No.
The Raiders moved from Oakland to L.A. in 83 or 84, something like that. Guess how much money he won? He won $75 million.
Wow.
And we're talking middle 1980s, $75 million. That's what he won.
Did you get any of that money? Or do you know how we can access any of it?
Ebony, what are you worried about that small amount of money for? You were born with money.
Yeah, but he's talking about, like, you know, 80 odd million. I'm like, come on, why are we talking about it? Because, you know,
he mentioned eminent domain, and that's something that most people don't even know about in the legal field. Most people don't know about that.
I'm just asking her why she's worried about such a small amount.
I'm not worried. I'm just saying, if we're gonna have a conversation about money, I need to see something. Hey. Huh?
Okay, hold up.
Now, like I said, you sitting on money. You was born with money.
I know, baby.
Yeah, there you go. So you worried about that. Don't worry about that little $75 million.
I'm not worried.
Don't even talk. Let's not even talk about that little small change. That's welfare money.
But let me ask you this, Chef. Ebony, you campaigning? You want to cut?
Am I campaigning?
Yeah, you want to cut?
I want half.
Uh-oh, see, even though it came out fucked up with that damn old London accent, I want half. Yeah. They always
now,
have to get half.
Now, Chef, now she sounds like an American woman, don't she?
Damn sure do.
I want a half.
At least half.
Okay.
Any results in the trial yet? If they said anything about, you know?
No. They're still deliberate.
They're talking.
So.
Told you.
Oh, they're wasting my phone time. Listen,
told you.
Let's save it till Monday. Do you want to give a result on Monday and let me go?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's going to be done once we get off the phone. They're going to come back in and issue a verdict. It's going to be
Let me tell you a little pickaninny something. Those white people not letting that verdict out over the weekend. Are you serious? Do you know what could happen this weekend if that boy walked out of there? No, come on now.
It's going down tonight.
Well,
it's going down.
I'm saying if it happens tonight, you know, save it for a conversation on Monday with Mr. Talk, because I'm going to go
okay.
now.
Okay,
I actually have a life, okay?
I have to go
do things that other people do.
She did say that.
I wanted to leave you guys with something anyway, because there's a song that I really like, Amy Winehouse, Our Day Will Come. And I think, you know, like you guys are talking about the injustice and all the rest of it. And I think, you know, we should always be positive and always believe that, you know what, justice one day will be done and things will be better for our people in time. But we've got to keep fighting for that.
Justice ain't going to be done.
Belief.
Ebony.
Yeah,
justice is not going to be done. It's not going to
be done.
Well,
maybe not in this case, but you know what? If we keep fighting the way that, and we keep talking about cases like this and not letting it disappear, not allowing the injustice to happen in front of our eyes, then there's more chance in the future we will get more justice. I think it's just that in the past, we've kind of sometimes had the attitude that the decision's been made before it's even been made. Do you get what I'm saying? It's interesting with this case that people have kept it alive and it's been part of our conversation, and people have been really, really, really fighting to see an outcome that is fair to someone who isn't even here, right? But for his family, most importantly. So,
stop dropping my brother-in-law's name. Don't do that.
He knew exactly
who I was talking about.
You know, I know a lot about football history, so I played football too. So
Where you at?
I'm in Chicago, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm in the South.
Chicago, and one thing I would like to say before we end this show, one thing I'd like to say, I don't know what it is, me being from Oakland, but every time I meet somebody from Chicago, I have straight love for them. I don't know what it is. They just shoot from the hip. They talk straight. They handle business, and I just want to give a shout-out to everybody from Chi-Town, even though they're calling it Chi-Rack now because they're killing each other. They're killing everybody so quickly.
Right,
it's just crazy. But I love my people from Chicago. I got nothing love for them. I'm going to Geno's to get some pizza. When me and my homeboy hook up, we going to fly out to Chicago. And I know, Chef, you know about Geno's.
Yeah.
The best pizza in the world.
Well, I'm coming to Geno's myself. I want to come to Geno's myself, but when you lot get off my phone. But, yes, I'm going to check Geno's out because it sounds like the place to be. definitely. But I just wanted to thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. I had a really great time and lots of interesting conversation for sure.
I did.
Yeah.
Too.
Thank
Wonderful
you.
Wonderful time.
Thank you, Benji.
Chef, look me up, Chef.
All right, got you, bro.
All right.
Okay.
Is Vernon still there?
No, they're all going slowly. So I'm gonna play you out and I'm gone. Have a great weekend, guys. Take care.
All right, you too, Ebony.
Much love to you all. Yeah,
love
take
you
care. Oh, thank you. Love you too.